Senator, please come to order. Roll call.
Roll call for Tuesday, February 17th. Anderson District 2.
Here.
Anderson District 28.
Here.
Barnard.
Here.
Bebout.
Here.
Burns.
Here.
Case.
Present.
Christensen.
Here.
Coe.
Here.
Cooper.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Dockstetter.
Here.
Driscoll.
Here.
Emmerich.
Here.
Escobel.
Here.
Geis.
Here.
Hastert.
Here.
Hicks.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
Kinski.
Here.
Landon.
Here.
Meyer.
Here.
Pappas.
Here.
Perkins.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Ross.
Here.
Rothfuss.
Here.
Scott.
Excused.
Von Fladern.
Here.
Wasserberger.
Here.
President Nicholas.
Here. Our pastor this week is going to be Father Jason Dickey. Father is from the Greek Orthodox Church of St. Constantine here in town. And Father, if you would please lead us in the prayer this morning. Let me give you a microphone first. You're on.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, all together, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, now and forever and unto the ages of ages. Amen. O God, our God, you have adorned us with your image and have given us free will. When you entered the temple in the middle of the feast, O compassionate Master, you taught the people who were amazed at your doctrine. For David says, "Come to me, children, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord." You also taught wisdom to Solomon. Look down even now, O Maker and Creator, upon our armed forces, our civil authorities, our governor, legislature, and Senate, and all who serve our state. Grant them wisdom and understanding that they may learn your holy will. Warm their hearts in love for you and for their neighbors. Guide them on the way of truth and righteousness, keeping their hearts from all evil. Unite them in one mind and one heart, and let the mutual brotherly love abide in their midst. Bless them for their doing of goods and useful things. We pray you, O merciful Master, Lord our God, the God of every compassion and consolation, do not turn away your face from them, nor deny them their longing, for you have set their hope on you. Grant them peace and serenity, unity of spirit, concord and fruitful action, and all those things needful for their temporal and eternal lives. For you know our needs and grant and fulfill our requests even before we make them. For you are the God, power and mercy and gracious and strength, and to you are due all glory, honor, and worship, to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, now and forever and unto the ages of ages. Amen. Through the prayers of our Holy Fathers, Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us and save us. Thank you all. Thank God. And to all the people in the balconies, I say, go Army and Airborne.
Please join me in the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Would the reading clerk please read the Journal Committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February the 12th, 2015 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Jeff Wasserberger, Chairman.
You've heard the report. Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. I always look to the Journal Chair. I wonder if he's even read his own report. All right, new business. The doctor of the day is Dr. Radosevich. If you give him, he's from Casper, if you give him a warm welcome. Is this a doctor?
Yes.
And this, I'm just trying to, Ukasia?
And then we actually have two doctors today. The other is Alex Uclesia. I can't say that right. Uclesia. Well, welcome. Well, thank you for being with us. And then the nurse today is Cindy Woods from Platte County Memorial Hospital. I don't know if Cindy's here. Let's see. We have a new page with us this week. It is Marissa Davila. Marissa, I tell you, if there's a microphone there, and if you just go up there, and if you just introduce yourself to everybody here, so tell us a little bit about yourself. We'd sure glad to have you.
My name's Marissa Davila, and I go to Rock River High School. I am a junior this year. I'm really excited to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you. Thank you for being here, and we look forward. I hope you have a good experience with us. Hey. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I privilege to the floor?
You may.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the Senate, for those of you that were invited to the governor's mansion tonight for dinner, he will not be able to make it. Actually, we may be the ones that cannot make it. And which brings me to my next point, Mr. President. Sort of the order we're going to do today, we're going to do second reading on the budget, the bills that we have. Then we'll postpone second reading on the budget bill till after we do third reading. Then we'll get into the budget bill. We are going to try to work general file, and we will get through the second reading amendments on the budget bill regardless of how long it takes. So, Mr. President, the one word I would ask the senators to consider is brevity. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just asked a question for the Majority Floor Leader. Could he define brevity, please?
Brevity is when everybody else stops talking and just lets you talk.
I was going to say, Mr. President, that the Vice President needs to listen to what he just said a little bit more on some of his amendments.
Yeah, right. Well, folks, this morning we have the Wyoming Adjutant General, Major Luke Reiner. Major, General, all I can say for everybody is every time you see the General, thank him for doing service and ask him where the Laramie Readiness Center is and why it isn't built yet. That's all we really want. We just want you to report and then you can leave. Your mic's not on yet. Well, folks, the Major General Luke Reiner is with us this morning to recognize the military members sitting in the gallery. Every year we do welcome the brave men and women to the Senate and thank them for their service and sacrifices. And, General, if you would, we'll give you the microphone to be serious and do what you came here to do.
All right. Thank you, Mr. President. And you will be happy to know that that building in Laramie is very high on my priority list.
I thought it might be.
So, esteemed senators and staff, thank you so much for allowing me just a couple moments this morning to address you. First, on behalf of the 3,000 men and women of the Wyoming Military Department, we want to thank you for your solid and continuing support. We could ask absolutely for no better. I would share with you that in a world of increasing turbulence, your men and women are representing this state around this globe incredibly well. Today, you have 97 Wyoming airmen deployed to the Middle East, flying Wyoming C-130s with bright yellow stripes on their tails in support of daily combat operations. And my report to you this morning is that they remain decisively engaged and are absolutely doing great. Additionally, before you meet for your 2016 session, we will deploy elements of our field artillery battalion in the first field artillery actual shooting mission since the Korean War. And also, for the 11th time since Desert Storm, we will deploy elements of our UH-60 Blackhawk helicopter medical evacuation unit. Those men and women, your soldiers from your hometowns across the state, are training in earnest, often at Camp Guernsey, as they start to focus on their upcoming deployment. I would also like to remind you this morning that the end of March is our state's annual Welcome Home Day for veterans from all conflicts. A few years ago, you passed a bill recognizing that annual event. The governor and I have attended each one of those since they started, and I'm here to tell you that they are well received and extremely well deserved. Thank you for that piece of legislation. It's making a difference. Your support for Wyoming veterans has a long history, and I would invite you to support our state's Vietnam veterans by participating in the Wyoming Vietnam Veteran Reunion in Casper in June. So, this morning I am pleased to have with me in the gallery a very large contingent of your Wyoming Air and Army National Guard and members of our Wyoming's Veterans Commission, including their chairman, Al Ellison. Please join me in thanking these men and women, the soldiers and the veterans who have helped make this nation's military absolutely the best that this world has ever seen. So.
General Reiner and members of the military, thank you for joining us at the Senate today and allowing us to honor servicemen and women. We really appreciate your being here, and as always, we appreciate your service.
All right. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you very much, and again, thank you for the current and former members of the military in the gallery today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your service to Wyoming and the nation. We really do appreciate everything you do for us. Thank you. Why don't you give that to me? I'm ready. You wanted to go to that next? We have a concurrence report. Senator Cooper. Senator Cooper, are you ready with message number 291, the Quebec number one historic site?
Present.
Would the reading clerk please read in the message?
February the 12th, 2015, from the House of Representatives, message number 291, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate file number 5, Quebec number 1 historic site 3. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 47, noes 12, excused 1. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that the Senate do concur with message number 291 on Senate File 5, Quebec 1, Historic Site 3, and ask you to vote no. Mr. President, there was quite a bit that this amendment put into the bill and changed. The one part on the requirement for a public meeting was fine, but there is a part in here where it talks about any lease or use agreement shall include a provision that provides facilities for volunteer firemen to store equipment and vehicles. That's quite a leap in this, Mr. President, and doesn't say anything about who will be reliable or responsible for the maintenance and upkeep of this facility. And I would ask you to vote no so we can go over and talk to those folks about this part of the amendment.
The motion is that the Senate do concur with message number 291 on Senate file number 5, Quebec number 1, historic site, and you've been asked to vote no. Will the chief clerk please call the row?
Anderson, District 2?
No.
Anderson, District 28?
No.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Kraft?
No.
Dockstetter? Driscoll?
No.
Emmerich?
No.
Escobel?
No.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Kinski?
No.
Landon?
No.
Meyer?
No.
Pappas?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
Oh, who does?
Rothfuss?
No.
Scott, excused. Von Platern?
No.
Wasserberger?
No.
President Nicholas?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 29 no, 1 excused.
The Conference Committee for Senate file number 005 on message number 291 will be Cooper, Chairman, Kraft, and Dockstetter. Next item for business are House bills on first reading. Let me see if I can do that. The Conference Committee for message number 292 on Senate File 13, Method of Execution, will be Christensen Chair, Burns, and Rothfuss. That brings us to House bills on first reading. House Bill 163, first reading of the bill. I'll get you there.
Hospital Endowment Program. I'm on. Sponsored by Representative Hunt. Passed the House on third reading in an amended form, Ayes 60.
House Bill 163 is assigned to Committee Number 2. Appropriations. House Bill 144, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 144, Education, School Safety and Security, sponsored by the Education Committee, passed the House on third reading, ayes 31, noes 29.
House Bill 144 is assigned to Committee Number 4, Education. House Bill 231, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 231, Hathaway Scholarships Exception from Requirements, sponsored by Representative Baker. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 55, noes 5.
House Bill 231 is assigned to Committee Number 4, Education. House Bill 224, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 224, Burn Order Violation, sponsored by Representative Baldwin. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 54, noes 6.
House Bill 224 is assigned to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. House Bill 208, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 208, Hard-to-Draw Hunting Licenses, sponsored by Representative Burkhardt. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 31, noes 29.
House Bill 208 is assigned to Committee Number 6, Travel. House Bill 235, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 235, Foreign Businesses Entities Reinstatement, sponsored by Representative Brown. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 59, noes 1.
House Bill 235 is assigned to Committee Number 7, Corporations. House Bill 162, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 162, Providers Order of Life-Sustaining Treatment, sponsored by Representative Wilson. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 32, noes 28.
House Bill 162 is assigned to Committee Number 10, Labor. House Bill 174, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 174, Nicotine Products Regulation, sponsored by Representative Waters. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 40, noes 20.
House Bill 174 is assigned to Committee Number 10, Labor. We're at that order of business, bills on second reading. Did I miss it? We have some standing committee reports.
February the 17th, 2015, Mr. President. Your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, Cultural Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 149, engrossed, special non-resident hunting license draw, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, 28, Cooper and Kraft. No, Senators Barnard and Johnson. Senator Cooper, chairman. February the 17th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 154, Complementary Hunting Licenses, Persons with Disabilities, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Anderson, 28, Barnard, Cooper, Kraft, and Johnson, Senator Cooper, chairman. February the 17th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, Cultural Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 155, engrossed, hunters who use wheelchairs donated licenses. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, 28, Barnard, Cooper, Kraft, and Johnson. Senator Cooper, Chairman. February the 17th, 2015, Mr. President, your Committee Number 5, Agricultural State Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 56, engrossed, Wyoming Food Freedom Act, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass, amended. Aye, Senators Barnard, Christensen, and Dockstader. No, Senators Emmerich and Geis, Senator Geis, Chairman.
Now we're at that order of business of bills on second reading. Yep. House Bill 60, second reading of the bill.
House Bill 60, sponsored by the Minerals Committee.
There are no amendments, no discussion. House Bill 60, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a second time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 74, second reading of the bill.
House Bill 74, sponsored by Representative Blake.
There is an amendment. Will the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
House Bill number 74, second reading amendment number 1 to engrossed copy, page 3, line 5.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 74 and ask for your favorable consideration. Members of the Senate, I was just looking at this. This is an issue that I personally have been looking at for quite a few years myself, and the language on page 3, you know, when we're during the debate, we were talking about specialized vehicles and those that aren't provided with a front license plate, like specific kind of sports cars that are actually, you know, I think the manufacturer doesn't put one on, but it's available. So the language could be saying that, you know, if it's available, it has to be on. So the language, it was just, in my mind, a cleanup of that it has to be installed, an installed bracket, and not just one that might be in the trunk of the vehicle. And so I ask for your favorable consideration.
Any further discussion on the amendment? Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm just trying to put this in context here. I was getting pretty good with the bill as it was written, but now it leaves it up to too much of the owner's discretion whether the bracket goes on or not. In an area where you have a bumper with no holes in it, or then you have a bracket that fits that, I'm good with the idea that certain cars and certain classic vehicles do not have a front license plate and you have to manufacture your own bracket. Great, they don't need to have a front license plate. But when you open it up this far, it has it where anybody that decides to remove the bracket could probably say that it didn't come attached, and then your police officer would be arguing with them whether it did or not. I don't think this is a good amendment. I'd ask for your defeat of it.
Further discussion on the amendment? Senator Coe.
Mr. President, I think we're taking out really basically some duplicative language. I just don't think that if you go after page 3, line 6, plate, and then it goes on to say, after we already say originally manufactured, and go on to say, and the manufacturer of the motor vehicle provided no other means or method to display and secure a front license plate. That's what we're taking out. To me, it appears to be duplicative, and I think it's a good amendment. I'd ask that you support it.
Any further discussion on the amendment? Senator Hastert, for your second time.
Well, Mr. President, members of the Senate, I think it's pretty clear that, you know, 99% of the vehicles come with that bracket already installed. It's the very specific sports cars that don't. And it's still very limiting and very, it definitely limits just those vehicles. The manufacturer puts one in the trunk, basically, or in the back seat, however you want to say it, but it's not actually attached, and any other vehicle comes with them attached. And to take it off, I think, this is just strictly leaving it to those sports cars.
The question is on second reading amendment number one. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
That amendment has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Any further discussion on the bill? There being none, Senate File 74 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection is so ordered. Senate File 104, second reading of the bill.
House Bill 104, sponsored by Representative Baker.
There are no amendments, no discussion. House Bill 104 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection is so ordered. House Bill 115, second reading of the bill.
House Bill 115, sponsored by Representative Escobel.
No amendments, no discussion. House Bill 115 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 135, second reading of the bill.
House Bill 135, sponsored by Senator Blackburn.
Representative Blackburn.
Sorry about that.
There are no amendments, no discussion. House Bill 135, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Majority Floor Leader Bebau.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I would ask that we lay back second reading budget bill, Senate File 1, till after we complete third reading.
Hearing no objections, second reading budget bill is being postponed till after third reading. Matter. So we're at that order of business of third reading consent. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
Mr. President, we do have a consent list, and I would move third reading consent list as follows. House Bill 5, Property Tax Refund Program Extension. House Bill 6, Airline Companies Assessment. House Bill 41, Barbering License Requirements. House Bill 47, Shipment of Wine. House Bill 49, Confidentiality Participants Involved in Execution. House Bill 86, Board of Cooperative Educational Services Meetings. House Bill 122, Workers' Compensation Permanent Disability. And House Joint Resolution 3, Free Roaming Wild Horses.
Would any members of the Senate like any of the bills removed from the consent list? Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? House Bill 5, Property Tax Refund Program Extension. House Bill 6, Airline Companies Assessment. House Bill 41, Barbering License Requirements. House Bill 47, Shipment of Wine. House Bill 49, Confidentiality of Participants Involved in Execution. House Bill 86, Board of Cooperative Educational Services Meetings, House Bill 122, Workers' Compensation Permanent Disability, House Bill 3, Free Roaming Wild Horses. Will the Chief Clerk please call the roll? Oh, pardon me. Senator Burns.
I believe the last one is House Joint Resolution 3, not House Bill 3.
Thank you. Let me restate. So the final item on the consent list just read in is correctly House Joint Resolution Number 3, Free Roaming Wild Horses. Thank you for that correction. Now would the Chief Clerk please call the roll.
On the consent list, Anderson District 2.
Aye.
Anderson District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Escobel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott? Excused. Von Fladern?
Aye.
Wasserberger?
Aye.
President Nicholas?
Aye.
On the consent list, 29 aye, 1 excused. House Bill 5. Are there any changes? Case I to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 5, 28 aye, 1 no, 1 excused. House Bill 6. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 6, 29 aye, 1 excused. House Bill 41. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 41, 29 aye, 1 excused. House Bill 47, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 47, 29 aye, 1 excused. House Bill 49, are there any changes? Case I to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 49. 28 aye, 1 no, 1 excused. House Bill 86. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 86. 29 aye, 1 excused. House Bill 122, are there any changes? Meyer, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 122, 28 aye, 1 no, 1 excused. House Joint Resolution 3. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Joint Resolution 3, 28 aye, 1 excused.
House Joint 3.
29 ayes, 1 excused.
Thank you. Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 5, House Bill 6, House Bill 41, House Bill 47, House Bill 49, House Bill 86, House Bill 122, and House Joint Resolution Number 3 have passed the Senate. House Bill Number 9, third reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 9, Alternative Fuel Taxation, sponsored by the Revenue Committee. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
think there is an amendment. Would the reading clerk please read it in?
House Bill number 9, third reading, amendment number 1 to engross copy, page 23, lines 20 through 22.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill number 9 and ask for the body's favorable consideration. This was just some additional work that our committee had left out. The association, the Marketing Association and others worked on this, and these were two items that were left out that they felt that needed to be struck in from the bill as well, Mr. President. And so I would ask the body to turn to page 23 if you're following, deleting lines 20 through 22. Basically, this was a signage that was be required on each pump, and that had no place in this bill, so we decided to go ahead and delete that on page 50. The one additional change was that we had deleted, if I can turn to it here, lines 8 and 11. This was, again, in relation to the signage and the penalty. And so with those two deletions, the bill's in good shape, and I'd ask the body's favorable consideration on House Bill 9.
Is there any further discussion on third reading amendment number 1? If not, the question is, shall third reading amendment number 1 be adopted? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has been adopted. We are now back on the bill. Is there any further discussion on the bill? There being none, will the chief clerk please call the roll?
Anderson, Anderson District 2.
Aye.
Anderson District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Escobel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Johnson. Kinski,
aye.
Landon, Meyer,
aye.
Pappas,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Scott, excused, Von Platern,
aye.
Wasserberger,
aye.
President Nicholas,
aye.
Closing vote, closing. Vote closed. 29 aye, 1 excused.
House Bill number 9, having received the affirmative vote of the majority members elect the Senate, House Bill 9 has passed the Senate. House Bill 22, third reading of the bill.
House Bill number 22, disabled veteran license plates. Sponsored by the Transportation Committee, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have an amendment. If the reading clerk would please read in the amendment.
House Bill 22, third reading amendment number 2, page 2, line 7.
Senator Anderson.
Mr. President, I would move third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 22 and ask for your favorable consideration. All this amendment does is allow a disabled veteran to purchase other license plates. He gets one free, and then he can purchase another one for another vehicle, whether that's a motorcycle or a pickup or what it is. It allows him to purchase another one and display his disabled veteran plate on all vehicles. Thank you.
Any further discussion on the amendment? There being none, the question is on third reading number 2. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment's been adopted. We have another amendment, third reading amendment number 3. If the reading clerk would please read in the amendment.
House Bill 22, third reading amendment number 3, page 1, line 7.
Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move
House Bill 22, third reading, amendment number 3. I know you'll remember all the way back to last Thursday when we had some questions on the insertion of 313101 into House Bill 22, talking about how many free license plates they can get. I had a meeting with those senators who had the question, and we all agreed that what you see in front of you would solve any of the problems that they came up with. So I would simply ask that you pass this amendment and we can move on to the bill.
So I'm to understand, the way I read this amendment, that one of the words excluded here is other than a bus or a motorhome. So a disabled veteran with a 50% or better disability thereby becomes exempt from having to pay the registration fees on a motorhome or multiple motorhomes. How many thousands of dollars are we talking here?
Senator Meyer?
Thank you, Mr. President. And Mr. President, that was our original concern when we asked this bill to be laid back, just looking at this section. But as if you look at the other language that was added in there, and we think made a little clearer by the language that was added in and the language that was deleted, if you look in 312215, it's specific that they can't get a free pass on the bus for the motorhome. It's only for a passenger car, motorcycle, a four-wheeler, or a pickup truck. So it limits them to just those four, and because it's a strict limitation, it's not necessary to have the language other than a bus or motorhome because it's taken care of in the other section of the law.
Further discussion before the sponsor takes his second time? Here's explanation was given. The question is on third reading amendment number 3. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number three has been adopted. And for clarification, there is no third reading amendment number 1. It must have been withdrawn. Or did we already do that? It failed on earlier. Okay. We're now back on to House Bill 22. Any further discussion on the bill? If the chief clerk would please call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
No.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Escobel.
Aye.
Geis. Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Kinski.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Pappas.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Scott excused. Von Fladern.
Aye.
Wasserberger. President Nicholas.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 27 aye, 2 no, 1 excused.
Senate File 22, having received the affirmative vote of the majority members of the Senate, Senate File 22 has passed the Senate. Senate File 73, third reading of the bill.
Senate File 73, Development of Education Standards. House Bill 73, the Development of Education Standards, sponsored by Representative Harshman, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have an amendment. If the reading clerk would please read in the amendment.
House Bill 73, third reading amendment number 1 to engross copy, page 2, lines 4 through 11.
Senator Wasserberger.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 73 and ask for your favorable recommendation. Essentially, what this does is on page 2, it reinserts the Senate Standing Committee stricken language, which states, the State Board, in consultation with the State Superintendent, shall establish a process to receive input or concerns related to student content and performance standards from stakeholders, including but not limited to parents, teachers, school district, administrators, and members of the public at large. And essentially what it does is put public input back into our standards. And would ask for your favorable support.
Discussion on the amendment. Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, the rest of the passage is the one that concerns me, actually, and that is with regard to the fact that this process is supposed to allow input at any time prior to the formal review process by the State Board. So what that does is it means over the entire duration there would be a process in place whereby people could just keep insisting that the State Board re-review those standards. Now, as it stands without this, and the reason the Joint Education Committee decided to strike this language is that's basically already what you can do. You talk to the State Board of Education, you try and get them interested in changing the standards. They can change them at any point in that, what is now an 8-year cycle based on the previous amendment, but requiring the State Board of Education to put together a new process for a process that already exists seems unnecessarily burdensome to the extent that they can already do that. Our understanding is that this is something that, in the Joint Education Committee, this is something that the State Board of Education and the Superintendent of Public Instruction are already talking through and working out what they would want to do with that process. This is something they just began a conversation on, and we felt that putting it in statute and directing the creation by the State Board of a new process, when they basically already have the ability to do that, but before they've had time to work out the details of what that would be, would simply be putting overly onerous burden on them, and it's too early in the game to do that. We can put that language back in. We can give them direction before they actually come to the conclusion, but it seems that that's too early in the process, and the Joint Education Committee decided that we would wait, hear back what the State Board of Education recommended. They didn't necessarily feel comfortable with this right now, and the Superintendent of Public Instruction, after sitting down with those two parties and figuring out the direction this should go, Mr. President, that's why we removed it. I still think that we're making the right choice over here in the Senate Standing Committee as opposed to the other chamber on how to handle this approach, because we need to have more of a conversation before we start telling them what to do with this policy. Mr. President, I urge the body to vote against this amendment. Leave it in the Senate position, and we can perhaps work with the folks in the other chamber or work with the State Board or the superintendent for something next year if we need to change this. Mr. President, I know we've been receiving a lot of input on this, that this would be a bill that would be killed if you didn't have this amendment, but this amendment is not about the Common Core standards. This amendment is not about what standards are in place. It's about a reasonable and fair process. We're trying to extend the timeline up to 8 years so that we can have more continuity, not less continuity, in our standards. If you talk to your superintendents, if you talk to your teachers, if you talk to your administrators, they're not going to say, please let us revisit these standards more often because that would be good for us. They will come back to you and say, please give us some continuity. So I'd encourage before you'd vote for this that you'd go back to your superintendents and the folks in your community that are expert on this and ask them what they would want, because they're going to tell you that try and keep things stable. That's what they want, Mr. President. I'd urge the body to vote against this amendment in doing so.
On the amendment, Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and in favor of the amendment, and I hear what my colleague from Albany County is talking about, but I, quite frankly, members of the Senate disagree You know, and it is a new process, but what's wrong with providing some language in there that says we should involve the public in talking about these different things? As far as less continuity, I think we add to the continuity. We don't take it away. And this is a controversial subject. We've dropped it from 10 to 8. I think this makes this bill a better bill, go back to the House position. I would ask that you support it.
Senator Cole.
Mr. Chairman, rising in opposition to the amendment, I think we need to understand what the State Board is charged statutorily with doing. They are charged statutorily with creating the standards that we take back to the local districts where they develop the curriculums. What I think this does is it uses the word shall in there. So this is a legislative mandate that we're talking about doing here. Consultation between the State Board and the school superintendent shall establish a process. So we're legislatively mandating that this happen. Now, I can tell you that the last time that the State Board reviewed standards, they went out publicly all over the state, literally everywhere, sought input from these stakeholders because that's the way they do their business. They're an appointed, hardworking board. To put this into statute and say, you shall do this in consultation with, it's going to happen anyway, you know, with the school superintendent or the state board. The consultation is going to happen between the department and the state board. We don't need this language. It's a legislative mandate. Urge that you defeat the amendment.
Any further discussion before the Senator Meyer?
There's an on and for the amendment. You know, I don't see any problem with involving the stakeholders. And if it's something that they could have been doing all along, I really have to ask myself the question, well, why haven't they been involving stakeholders? You know? So I think it gives some good, clear direction, and it's probably high time that the direction's been given.
Any further discussion before the movement takes his second and last time? Senator Wasserberger. Oh, excuse me. Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just to clarify one point, they have been doing that all along. They seek stakeholder input. That's part of the process. It's extensive stakeholder input. The difference between what this is mandating and what they're doing now is that this is requiring that they always seek input. In other words, not when the process is happening, not when the State Board decides that they want new input. This is saying that there has to be a process in place whereby stakeholders can try and insert themselves into the process even when the process isn't being carried out. In other words, right now for language arts or for math and science, or excuse me, for mathematics, where they're waiting a while. This is trying to say that they can do it at any time. Read the last portion of the sentence. It indicates that it's time insensitive. Right now, the process is a reasonable rulemaking process where they seek input, they ask all the stakeholders, they get all of the information. That information is brought back to the State Board of Education, and the State Board of Education adopts the standards. In other words, there is stakeholder input. That's how we've been doing it. That's how they're planning on doing it. The only thing that this really changes through this mandate is saying, not only do you have to take stakeholder input when you're actually looking for new standards, you need to take stakeholder input on those standards even when you're not looking for new standards, which, again, honestly, they'd still do because they're people you can walk up to and say, hey, we'd like you to look at these language arts standards, and they would say, all right, well, you make a good point. I'll bring it up with the State Board of Education. The process is already in place. Mr. President, I just don't want the body to think that stakeholders are not currently being consulted, because they certainly are. That's the central point of the process, and the State Board of Education does not make the standards themselves. They go to those stakeholders. They put together technical advisory groups. Those technical advisory groups weigh the options. They seek diverse input. They have a public comment period. Actually, I believe two public comment periods come back. Then they make that formal recommendation. This is not an amendment about whether or not stakeholder input is put in place. This is simply a mandate, as the good chairman said, of what they shall do instead of working collaboratively between the two bodies that work on this, coming up with what they shall do, and then letting us do their job.
Senator Pappas.
Lady and gentlemen of the Senate, you know, this language is basically a solution for something that's not broke. And so I think we ought to just, you know, pay attention to what we're doing when we're writing verbiage into bills that are not required. I say if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Senator Bebout, for your second
time. Thank you, Mr. President, for my second time. And I heard my good colleague for Park County tell us it's going to happen anyway. And I haven't been doing this for a very long period of time, but sometimes happen anyway just doesn't happen. And quite frankly, Mr. President, what's wrong with saying that we shall do this? It brings the public into process, the stakeholders into the process. And this is prior to the formal review. And I hear what my colleague from Albany County is talking about, but this is prior to the formal review. The formal review is different. Of course, all of this was reported to the Joint Education Committee. They listened to it, and that's by December 1st of the every year that they do this. So let's have the stakeholders involved. Let's don't worry about it happening anyway. Let's have our input. I think it's appropriate and ask you to support the amendment.
To the movement for his final and second time, Senator Wasserberger.
Mr. President, for my second time, I bring this amendment to the Senate at the request of the good chairman of the House Appropriations Committee, and it was his belief that if this language wasn't put in, he would lose his bill. So I brought this in his request, and essentially it says that when you have a public meeting, the State Board of Education, that they can take comment on state standards during that meeting. They do that anyway. But there are certain people throughout the state who see this bill much differently if it's not specifically stated that they have public input. And so at his request, I brought this in support of his bill. And I would hope that you would give the people public comment. It does allow for the state superintendent and the state board to set the process. They set the process of when public comment will be taken, and they take that comment at their meetings anyway. So on in support. Thank you, Mr. President.
We're on the third reading, amendment number one. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The chair is in doubt. Would those in favor of the amendment please stand. Those opposed, please stand. Was it 7-11? The vote was 17-11. The chair is no longer in doubt. Third reading amendment number one has been adopted. We're now back on the bill. Discussion on the bill. If not, if the chief clerk would please call the roll.
Anderson, District 2. Anderson, District 28.
No.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
No.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
No.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
No.
Escobel.
No.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert. Hicks.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Kinski.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Pappas.
Aye.
Perkins.
No.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
No.
Scott excused. Von Fladern. Wasserberger?
Aye.
President Nicholas?
Aye.
Closing vote?
Anderson, aye to no. Anderson,
02. Anderson, 02, aye to no. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 19 aye, 10 no, 1 excused.
Senate File 73, having received the affirmative vote of the majority members elect the Senate, Senate File 73 has passed the Senate. We're now at that order of business of second reading amendments to the budget bill. We do have amendments.
We do with that.
If the reading clerk would please read in second reading, well, actually, I got to read the bill first. Set of file number one, second reading of the bill.
Senate file number one, general government appropriations.
We have amendments. If the reading clerk would please read in second reading, amendment number one.
Senate File 1, Second Reading Amendment 1, Budget Affected, Section 1, Office of the Governor.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move Second Reading Amendment number 1 to Senate File 1. Ladies and gentlemen, this goes into the Office of the Governor's budget, and it's a simple amendment. It's on page 3 of the amendment. Of the amendment, but it is on page 5 of your bill. As members of the Senate, during the appropriations process, the Department of Tourism came in with $35,000 requesting a liaison, a boots on the ground in Taiwan. That was rejected by the Appropriations Committee. It was rejected primarily because if we're going to do this, and I do believe it's important that we have representation in the Pacific Rim, that it be globally, not just directed to the Department of Tourism. So what this amendment does is take that $35,000 and puts it in the governor's office so that we'd have the governor's control over this, and it would encompass more than just tourism, and it would dovetail with the governor's trips to the Pacific Rim, along with your legislative leadership that have gone to the Pacific Rim in the this past year. And I think it's important that we have a presence there in the Pacific Rim. I just think it's better placed in the governor's office so that we have a more global approach to this matter. I'd urge your favorable consideration.
Discussion on the amendment. The amendment does involve an appropriation. Roll call on the amendment.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Escobel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert. Hicks?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott excused. Von Fladern?
Aye.
Wasserberger?
Aye.
President Nicholas?
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 28 aye, 1 no, 1 excused.
Second reading amendment number 1 has been adopted. Would the reading clerk please read in second reading amendment number 2.
Senate file 1, second reading amendment 2 to corrected copy. Budget affected, section 004, state treasurer.
Senator Meyer, are you alive back there? I was going to wait till you get out of your coughing fit, then give you a mic.
Thanks.
Senator Meyer.
Yeah, Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 1. Okay, Mr. President, this goes into the discussion that we had when we had committee of the whole about the treasurer trying to establish a investment team and making sure that he kind of had a bench behind him to support him and trying to go in and figure out how we could pay for that. And we had a little discussion about passive investment and active managers and the fact that active managers, except in some rare circumstances, haven't been doing any better than the passive investors in index funds. I had an opportunity after we had that discussion to talk to the treasurer, and he thought that he might be able to develop a plan and had been kind of doing some research along those same lines of investment management decisions. So what this does is say that the state treasurer may, and it's important to say that he may develop a plan to reduce the management fees paid to investment managers. And essentially, a passive manager gets paid much, much less than an active manager. And if you look on line 13, page 1, there's a little word that says by. That was supposed to be for. If this amendment does pass, I think that's a correction. We can perhaps make it the desk because it's de minimis in nature. But anyway, that would change, and as he's developing his plan, would free up enough money to actually get the employees that he needs. And staff was able to go in and actually determine what position numbers that were available within the treasurer's office and in areas where we could reclassify a vacant position, number 10 in line 17. So it has the same restrictions as far as the total dollars per year that JAC put on folks that weren't the chief advisor, but basically the advisors that would be in areas of different asset management classifications, such as your long-term investments, your alternative investments, your equity investments. So we start to have a good bench. So if anything happens that somebody gets hired away, we've got some folks with some expertise where we don't lose the whole team or lose the ability to have good information and good advice going to the treasurer and to the top five elected officials on SLIP. So, Mr. President, hopefully that understands, that explains where we're going with this. The state treasurer was supportive of this idea, thinks that he could work around that. Again, it's May, because even though I think he wants to implement something like this, you never can tell what might happen between now and his implementation phase that would kind of slow him down or cause him to rethink it. But it's an option that we give the state treasurer to develop that team, and it'd be more along the same lines as that we have at the retirement board and the retirement system, and that has worked real well for those folks over there, where they're doing much better than they have in the past. So I would hope that we could support this and support the state treasurer in trying to get the positions that he needs to have a a shop that has the expertise to advise him.
Discussion on the amendment, Senator Coe.
Mr. President, boy, I'm really leery of this one. I see where it says may, I understand that, but you're talking about the funding source coming from the reduced management fees. Now, first of all, with the scope of investments that we have, which is roughly $17 billion out there right now that I believe is under management, we have a financial advisor, a large company that comes in and makes, you know, gives the treasurer's office advice on the performance of these different managers. Based on a lot of that advice, they go out, the treasurer's office goes out and makes decisions to hire or fire different managers, whether they're large cap, small cap, international, bond managers, whatever they might be. I understand the intent of the amendment, and probably comes from the fact that the prime person we had down there left for a lot more money to the state east of us, which, and I happen to like this guy a lot, but to say that the plan to reduce management fees to investment managers really concerns me. Because the scope of money that we invest, we get an incredible break on the fees that are charged to us. Sometimes 20 and 30 basis points, 40 basis points less than other fees you might pay. So you can vote for this amendment if you want, but I want to tell you, be leery on this thing. I got a little bit of background in this particular business. I'd be very leery of this amendment. Urge caution.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and against the amendment, members of the Senate, your Appropriations Committee did approve up to $250,000 for the Chief Investment Officer. We did approve the budget request for the 0021 Executive Management and Senior Investment Officer Equities. We approved that. According to my conversations with the Treasurer, those were the two most important ones for him to have moved up. We did that. Now what you're doing is the position 19, we're going to increase that, which the Appropriations Committee chose not to do, by increasing that 97,572 for the remainder of this biennium. I suggest to you that this is the wrong way to go about it. You have contracts that are already in place with these investment managers, and these are key people that do most of the investing of our funds. And so I suggest to you that this is the wrong way to go about it. While it seems permissive, the reality is I don't even think this can be done in the fashion in which it is being proposed. I urge your no vote.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. On for the amendment, I had the same concerns as my colleague from the eastern part of the state, that we need to be looking more and focusing more on having our own internal expertise on investment. We've got $20 billion of state funds that are under the purview of our state treasurer. Having a bench of people who are capable of understanding how that money's used at a senior level, these senior investment officers, is critical. However, I understand the good Joint Appropriations Committee's concerns in the short term and in how they're managing it, and the fact that there probably isn't sufficient time to get these things taken care of, which, Mr. President, seems that the reasonable approach then is to provide some flexibility to the Treasurer's office to take care of this if they have the means and if it looks like it's a good idea. In other words, the May clause is a perfect approach to this, where we provide the State Treasurer with the ability, if appropriate, and I think we have confidence that appropriate is going to be the key on this one, if appropriate, to take 900 series funds, of which my budget says in 15-16 they've got $63.2 million 900 series funds. And we're looking at redirecting some of those dollars to internal personnel rather than contractors. And I don't disagree with my friend from Park County. These are expensive contractors that we're using. They're well-trained. We get a good discount, and they're important. That's why I'm very confident that it wouldn't be a haphazard decision or something off the cuff by the treasurer, but with due diligence, deciding whether or not those savings that could be made for those contractors versus the internal special investment advisors or senior investment personnel would be a reasonable trade-off. I also agree with the chairman of the Joint Appropriations Committee that, honestly, I'm not sure either whether this would get done in a reasonable period of time or not, but this is exactly the kind of flexibility that if we provide it to the treasurer's office, those decisions can be made with the flexibility, with the good judgment, with the best available data, and with an understanding of what those rates actually are versus what senior investment advisors internally would cost and what the cost-benefit analysis of that decision would be. Mr. President, this is a zero-budget influence amendment. It's 900 series to 100 series with some restrictions on how that can be spent. So there is no additional appropriation for this. There's no additional cost. It's providing a little bit of flexibility to the Treasurer's Office to help try and address the fact that we don't have enough senior investment advisors in the office and that we spend most of our time paying $63.2 million a biennium to folks that aren't in the office and that are not building the bench. On and for the amendment, it just provides flexibility. Let's let the Treasurer make the decision on whether or not this is a sound decision, but give the flexibility to do so if he so chooses.
Senator Perkins.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, on and against the amendment, my friends, in this amendment, you have to, just because it's coming out of this other series funds, you need to understand how this works. In the State Treasurer's Office, the investment carves off from the income stream that comes into the general fund the money to fund and pay for the Series 900 and these items. Every dollar that you add to that stream, or allow every dollar that you allow the treasurer to take off that stream, then reduces, if you increase the amount that's taken off the stream, it reduces the amount that comes to the general fund. With respect to the bench building, I think your Joint Appropriations Committee heard that, and we took and increased the salaries. We did two things. The Joint Appropriations did two things that need to be done. One is we increased the Chief Investment Officer's salary up to $250,000, which the high range right now for comparable types of funds is about $230,000. So we're right in the ballpark there. Then we took and we increased, starting to allow for this bench to increase, we took one position, we moved it up to, we increased one position. Instead of granting the new position, we increased one position and allowed that salary to be up to $152,000 to start to build that bench. That's exactly what the treasurer wants. The other position, which is currently at one funded rate, that position is already currently filled, and that person is working away. The other thing you need to remember on what we're doing at this is, one, is if this plan works, we'll be back. We'll be back in the budget next year looking at this thing. We may decide to do it then. We may not decide to do it then as a legislature. But what the other thing you have to remember is that one of the purposes of this amendment, I believe, which is what the proponent, is what my good friend from Goshen County talked about before, was to kind of direct this stuff, because there's been some dissatisfaction with the way that some of the investment managers have invested the money. And so this is an attempt to try and push this towards indexed funds. There's a lot of people that think the indexed funds are a way to go, but what we're trying to do here is incentivize the treasurer to move towards indexed funds. I think that that's bad policy for us to get in the middle of starting to try and direct the treasurer about how to invest these funds by creating this, dangling this carrot out here and say, well, if you can go back and reorient and deal on the fees so that you can fund this, then you can go do what you want to do. But my friends, what happens when we do that is now we're the point is to entice him to leave directed and actively managed investment advisor accounts and put those into index funds to save that. And I don't think that's the appropriate thing that we ought to be butting into on a treasurer's office that works very well. We have a treasurer who's very dedicated, who works very hard and we get great discounts because of the amounts of money that we invest from these folks already, and I would urge you to resist this amendment.
Further discussion before the movement takes his final and second time? Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President.
feels good to be able to speak again, Mr. President. To some of the points that were made, and I think they were good points, but let's I think look at the facts, and I think what you need to do is that you need to talk actually to the treasurer. And I can relate to you what the conversation that we had. And let's go directly to the point that the good senator from Casper made about dangling the carrot. Folks, these things, a lot of these moves are going to be made whether there's a carrot or a perceived carrot there or not. Because the treasurer is going to look at some of these areas where, frankly, the performance hasn't been that great. In some places, he's probably going to be able to pick up some alternatives. And those alternatives will, the fees are probably going to be structured in such that we're going to have even better fees. Right now, we're only paying 27 basis points, which is just, that is below the average by a lot. But if we go into some different areas that we're already intending to go into, based on what the treasurer told me, is that we're going to have some savings in our 900 series. And we're really trying to get the expertise there so folks that can talk to that big firm that's advising us. And believe me, it's a good firm. We've had them for a long, long time. But we want to get that bench so there's that communication between that big firm and the office of the treasurer. And those people are talking on the same level, which is a level a little bit above my pay grade in a lot of areas. But it wouldn't be above the pay grade of the experts that we're trying to get in and build a bench. And so then at that point in time, with the treasurer included, the treasurer can understand what the strategies are that's being recommended. He's got somebody there every day in the office that can tell him whether we're getting that implementation done in the right factor in the different asset classes. And it's important to go and move beyond equities. Now, I applaud the JAC for moving into equities because that's one of our biggest areas of investment where we can get the biggest return. But we had that discussion earlier about how important fixed income is and some of the risks associated with fixed income. And we need somebody in that office that can talk to that big investment firm that we deal with that understands some of those risks and can communicate those risks not only to the treasurer but to the slip board. Because those are the folks that ultimately make a lot of the decisions that the treasurer is asking to make. And the same thing with alternatives. Now, alternatives, that's one of the things that we've been a little bit slow on. There's a lot of state investment agencies out there that have got a lot more invested in those. And those things they're dicey at best, but they can have some huge returns. But we need to understand the risk associated with that. We need an expert that's in the office that understands those alternative investments and what the risk, reward, and the benefit and the cost is of those alternatives. And that's why this is extremely important. Now, talking about the implementation, the treasurer said that we're going to get the new guy on, the chief investment officer, early this spring, which would be somewhere in that May vicinity. So it's going to take a little while for recruitment and he gets on board. And then you're going to look at involving that individual with the bringing in the equities manager. And then from that time on, it's going to probably be 8 to 10 months, somewhere in that range, where by that time we should have enough money in a direction and moving in the direction to be able to have some savings to bring the other folks on board. And so, yeah, we'll probably, the time we get back here next year, there's a good chance that the interviews have been taking place, that they're getting it winnowed down to the top two or three people, and they may be on board by the time we sit here again. But, you know, folks, $17 billion, we don't want to be penny wise and pound foolish on this deal. And we're actually moving ahead at the treasurer's pace and doing what the treasurer wants us to do. And we're not dangling a carrot in front of him because it's where he wants to go anyway. This is just authorizing language. And there's oversight because you have to provide a report to JAC to make sure that we identify the potential savings from the investment managers, including documentation of budget transfers required within the state treasurer's office on existing appropriations. So JAC is going to see the 900-100 switch. they're going to know everything that's about this. It's all transparent. So, Mr. President, it's what the state treasurer ultimately would like to do. We figured out a way that he can pay for it in-house, and it has the oversight of JAC.
Time.
So, Mr. President, I hope we can support this.
The question is on second reading amendment number 2. It does involve a fund switch from series 900 to the series 100. If the chief clerk would call the roll.
Anderson District 2?
No.
Anderson District 28?
No.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns? Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Kraft?
No.
Dockstetter?
No.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
No.
Escobel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
Aye.
Johnson?
No.
Kinski?
No.
Landon?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
No.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott excused von Fladern?
Aye.
Wasserberger? President Nicholas?
No.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 11 aye, 18 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, second reading amendment number 2 has failed. If the reading clerk would please read in second reading amendment number 36.
Senate file 1, second reading amendment number 36, budgets affected. Section 006, Administration and Information.
Senator Kraft.
Thank you so much, Mr. President. What this does is actually seek to give us an additional piece of information as we move into, Oh, excuse me. I am sorry. I just moved right in without moving. I would move second reading amendment number 36 to Senate file number 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. And now, moving into the explanation, what we would like is just an additional piece of information as we go into next year's budget session and start looking especially at executive branch compensation. So we'd like another little piece of the pie that currently is missing, and that's just some research, just a report on what it would cost us if we were to provide family leave, which would be for the birth or adoption of a new child. Because we find most companies offer that, and if we're going to compete for our best and our brightest, we'd maybe not choose to do this, but we would like to at least have that information, because currently our employees use accrued vacation, sick leave, unpaid leave. So it just asks for some estimates that we can consider as we consider next year's budget in terms of including family leave in that particular compensation package or not. With that being said, I would stand for questions or ask for your favorable consideration. Thank you.
Discussion on the amendment. There being none, there's no appropriation. Voice vote. All those in favor of second reading amendment number 36, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The amendment has failed. Senator Hastert. You may.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the Senate, up in the balcony over to your left, we have the Wyoming Skills USA officer team and their teacher advisors. We have Shaylin Bender from Casper, if you'd stand up, Spencer Sommervold, Ben Batson, Colton Edwards, and Abby Urban. Abby's from Douglas, Colton is from Douglas, Ben is from Rollins, and Spencer's from Rollins. And they have teacher advisors up there, Mr. President, members of the Senate, the organization serves students of the trades and service arena. And last year, in a national competition, the Wyoming group took first place in a quiz bowl, which is a knowledge-based competition They took second place in a national welding competition, and they took a bronze in a computer programming and speech competition. I'd like you to welcome them to the Senate. Thank
you. If the reading clerk would please read in second reading amendment number 3.
Senate File 1, Second Reading Amendment Number 3, Budgets Affected, Section 7, Wyoming Military Department.
Senator Coe.
Mr. President, I would move Second Reading Amendment Number 3 to Senate File 1. What this amendment does, members of the Senate, is appropriates $200,000 up to the Wyoming Veterans Memorial Park in Cody to recognize the women that have served in the military. And I'd be a lot happier doing this amendment if the balcony was full of all those veterans who were here a little while ago. But I'm not that lucky. There's a little misconception out there that what is this park up there? Well, the Wyoming Veterans Memorial Park, through gubernatorial proclamation, was declared Wyoming's Veteran Memorial Park by Governor Dave Friedenthal. What we have up there, we started with the Vietnam Memorial. That was funded through private money. And then the city of Cody came in and provided the land. And currently today we have a World War I memorial. We've got a World War II memorial, Korean memorial. We even recognize the Navy, the Air and Army National Guards, POW Memorial. So what this would do is come in and complement what we have there in place right now. How have we stepped up locally? Through a number of different projects, particularly through some local veterans up there, particularly with the big one being the Korean Memorial, we raised over $100,000 locally. We went out, one gentleman up there who's a former Green Beret Vietnam vet, went out and created these bricks that you could buy and place in place down there for $250 a piece. We sold 500 of those. The city of Cody itself comes in and landscapes, takes care of this property. We did get one $100,000 grant to create the land itself. We had to bury a canal. So what this would do would be to go in and recognize those women that served in the military, drove ambulances, were nurses, ferried airplanes, recognized those that participated in making this world safe that we live in today. Now, I know there was some discussion on the Appropriations Committee that the whole place might not be worth $200,000. I can tell you the overall investment in this park today is well over $2 to $3 million, between $2 and $3 million. So what this amendment does, it recognizes women as they serve. There was also a group called the WASPs. They ferried airplanes. There were 38 of them that died doing that. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd ask for your favorable support of the amendment and stand for questions.
Discussion on the amendment? Senator Burns.
Mr. President, on against the amendment. As the good senator from Cody mentioned, this started as a grassroots movement and has they've solicited and gotten money and donations from all over the state. It's definitely a worthy cause. But $200,000 from the state for basically it's an obelisk is my understanding of it. For $200,000 you can build a house. I think that we should reject this amendment and let them next year come back with some sort of proposal for matching funds or grassroots fundraising or something like this. The idea of top-down having the state pay for this memorial, I think, sets a bad precedent. And if we vote for this, they'll be back because America's been in a lot of wars.
Further discussion on the amendment. The amendment requires an appropriation. For your second and final time, Senator Coe.
Mr. Chairman, this is not a top-down approach. I can tell you that the complement that will be taken care of locally through local fundraising, the World War II Memorial is a good example of that. I had a good friend who was a World War II vet up there, was head of the largest chemical company in the world. He donated $50,000 to the Veterans Park. They like this park. This is not a top-down approach. This is a one-time funding. And what you get with this, you get the complement of local people raising money, the city of Cody taking care of this property, watering the grass. There'll be more fundraising taking place with bricks. So this is not a top-down approach where we're going to come back next year and ask for more money. I'd ask you to support the amendment.
Roll call on the amendment.
Anderson, District 2?
No.
Anderson, District 28?
No.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case? Christensen?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
No.
Dockstetter?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Emmerich?
No.
Escobel? Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Kinski?
No.
Landon?
No.
Meyer?
No.
Pappas?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
No.
Rothfuss?
No.
Scott excused von Platern? Wasserberger?
No.
President Nicholas?
No.
Closing vote?
Cooper,
I to no. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 6-I, 23, no, 1 excused.
Second reading number 3 has failed. Will the reading clerk please read in second reading amendment number 4?
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 4, budgets affected. Section 10, Department of Agriculture.
Senator Anderson, 2.
Mr. Chairman, this amendment's pretty straightforward. I won't take a lot of time to go back over the rationale. I'll simply give a summary of why we come back with this. Wyoming has had significant investments in recent years in the infrastructure of the state fairgrounds. These improvements have provided an enhanced experience for those who participate in state fair and the many other events scheduled at the fairgrounds. They also provide new opportunities to increase the use of the facility. That has increased exponentially over the last few years. With these enhancements, state fair personnel have identified an immediate need for upgrading equipment to properly utilize the facilities. Much of the current equipment is antiquated. Cost to maintain the equipment is inadequate to meet the customer needs. And state fair is dependent upon contractual services for meeting many professional needs, such as judges, even coordinators of the state fair. So with the enhancements noted above, the number of contractors has increased. With an improved economy, the cost of professional service has risen significantly. I would simply say that, in summary, given growth, we're not keeping up with our ability to maintain and sustain, and I would urge your favorable consideration. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Anderson, would you please move the amendment?
I'm sorry. I would at this time move the amendment number 4 to Senate File number 1. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and against the amendment, folks, this goes into the state fair. It's for operations and equipment. Now, we heard extensive discussion in appropriations concerning the state fair. The Appropriations Committee did take care of the state fair with regards to construction in the budget. But this is for operations and equipment. It's for a utility vehicle, gates, and 2 lawnmowers. This is a supplemental budget, folks. This is an increase of the general fund of $450,000. We are $600,000 in the hole right now. I suspect that today, for me, it's death by a thousand cuts. Having said that, I suggest that this certainly, if the need is there, it can be addressed in a general budget or when we deal with the overall budget for the next biennium.
Further discussion on the amendment, Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I'm against the amendment. One of the other things we heard in testimony in the Appropriations Committee about this, yes, expenses and so forth do go up. They still only charge a buck to get in there. I think that they should take a look at their business model before coming to us. And that's the other problem that I have in this particular item, is we don't get an overview of how they're spending their money and how what their business model is and how it's being conducted. And yet we're constantly asked for additional money. I think there should be more oversight and possibly a management audit look at the state fair.
Any further discussion? It does involve an appropriation. Roll call on the amendment.
Anderson District 2?
Aye.
Anderson District 28?
No.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
What?
No.
No.
Christensen?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Change your vote.
Kraft?
No.
Dockstetter? Driscoll?
Love
it. Emmerich?
No.
Escobel? Geis?
No.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Kinski?
No.
Landon?
No.
Meyer?
No.
Pappas?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Bonfus?
No.
Scott excused von Platern? Wasserberger?
Aye.
Keep looking.
President Nicholas?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 3 ayes, 26 no, 1 excused.
Second reading amendment number 4 has failed. If the reading clerk would please read in second reading amendment number 5.
Senate file 1, second reading amendment number 5. Budget affected, section 24. State Parks and Cultural Resources.
Senator Coe.
Mr. Chairman, I'd move second reading amendment number 5 to Senate File 1. This would increase the general fund appropriation $100,446 to go down to the State Museum down the street here and provide them with some artifact and artwork conservation work that is solely needed down there. Now, members of the Senate, we're in the process of ultimately spending a quarter of $1 billion on this, the People's Building. Down the street, we have the People's Artwork. I can tell you with my background in the museum business, if you don't take care of and conserve the artwork, you're going to lose it, and it's invaluable to the people of Wyoming and valuable to the museum. So that's what this amendment does. They're way behind. They have not had adequate funding. They haven't had funding in their current budget to do any of this work. I think it's a worthwhile amendment that deserves your consideration this time. The artwork down there is invaluable. As we sit here in this chambers, you can look at the Gollings over here and the Sharp up front, and I can tell you this artwork is incredibly valuable. So let's conserve the art of the people. Let's pass this amendment and help them do their job.
Discussion on the amendment, Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and against the amendment, folks. Once again, the supplemental budget, your Appropriations Committee provided $100,000 for this restoration and preservation of artwork. We'll be back in 15 months. We can deal with it in a general fund or general budget next session. But we did take care of that to the extent that we thought it was funds necessary at this time to preserve these artifacts and artwork. Suggest that you vote this down.
Senator Burns.
Chairman, my chairman. Mr. President, it's usually the duty of somebody on the Appropriations Committee to defend their budget bill, but in this particular case, I think the senator from Cody is absolutely right. What we looked at as far as the items that needed preservation, state parks and cultural resources, came in with, I thought he was going to come up and hit me, with specific items and how much each item was going to cost for preservation. A lot of this are outside experts because there are so many artifacts that the state has. And keep in mind, until we bought the Unicover building, most of these items were being kept in an unheated warehouse and suffered years of neglect from that. And Mr. President, I think the other reason this is important is when people, almost all these items that the state has were donated by citizens of Wyoming, many of whom are no longer alive, but their descendants are. And when they donate these items to the state of Wyoming, it's with the expectation that we will take good care of these items in posterity. I think we have the duty to do that. As far as giving $100,000 to last the 15 months, actually, the specialties and expertise is so varied for so many of these different artifacts that I think we need to do it now, as soon as possible, with a number of these items. So I would recommend that we vote aye on this particular amendment.
Senator Kraft.
I would also ask you to vote aye on this amendment. I certainly don't want to repeat all the wonderful comments made by the good senators preceding me here, but I will tell you that $100,000 was appropriated by JAC, but this isn't work you can do in segments. This is work that has to be done, and it has to be contracted, because we don't have a conservator. We do not have a museum conservator, so this is something, if we can go the additional funding, we can restore all of these wonderful, valuable artifacts, valuable not just to us, but to the people of Wyoming. I'll tell you, it's one-time funding. It's one-time funding to contract for the professional conservation assistance. It's just putting in the additional money that was requested that was not put in by JAC, and I would urge your favorable consideration of this amendment. Thank you.
Senator Wasserberger.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. On and against the amendment, the JAC did address this and appropriate about the same amount, $100,000, to this project. I actually took the time to look through all the historical items, and they are really neat. As a historian, I've always valued those things, and they do need to be preserved. But I do feel that we can do this regularly in the budget session, and I don't think that anything will be hurt as a result of that. But we do need to take care of them, and we will. We'll look at this at the budget session and try and take care of these natural resources. So on and against the amendment.
Any further discussion? The question been called for. It does involve an appropriation. If the chief clerk would please call the roll on second reading amendment number 5.
Anderson District 2?
No.
Anderson District 28?
No.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Emmerich?
No.
Escobel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon? Meyer? Pappas? Perkins? Peterson? Ross? Rothfuss? Scott excused. Von Fladern? Wasserberger? President Nicholas?
No.
Closing vote? Close. Rothfuss, aye to no. Kinski, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 11 aye, 18 no, 1 excused.
Second reading of number 5 has failed. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate beg leave to rise and sit again.
I have a couple announcements that I forgot to our earlier this today. Marissa, we have a coin that I'll give to you afterwards. It's just a pen. I apologize for not giving that to you this morning. I'll give it to you here during lunch. One thing I did in the history item, in 1933, Craig Thomas was born in Cody. He served in the Wyoming House of Representatives from 1984 until 1989. He also served as U.S. Congressman from 1989 to 1995 and as a U.S. Senator from 1995 until his death in 2007. Today, folks, is the 24th day of the 37-day legislative session. Second reading is we're in the middle of it. Third reading will be on Friday the 19th. I think that's the... third reading of the bill. Are there other announcements? Senator Emmerich.
Mr. President, your Committee on Agriculture, State and Public Lands, Water Resources will meet upon adjournment today in room S-15 to go over House Joint Resolution Number 6, Engrossed Wyoming Local Food Production.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 2, Appropriations, will meet in just a couple of minutes to consider the following re-referrals: House Bill 15, Restoration of Voting Rights by Department of Corrections; House Bill 27, NRC Agreement State Authorization; House Bill 53, Minerals to Value Added Products Program; House Bill 54, Corrective Action Account Distribution; and House Bill 55, Solid Waste Program Amendments.
Senator Vaughn Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. President. Committee number 9, Minerals Economic Development, tomorrow about 15 minutes after noon recess. House Bill 61, Engrossed Wyoming Chartered Family Trust Company Act. House Bill 233, Branch Bank License Expiration. House Joint Resolution 7, Engrossed Bear Lodge Project. Thank you.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 3, Revenue, will meet at 12:30 up in room S-16 today to discuss House Bill 113, Engrossed Cigarette Certification; House Bill 111, Engrossed Resort Liquor Licenses; and House Bill 112, Engrossed Capital Construction Grant Eligibility.
Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Judiciary Committee number 1 will meet Wednesday, February 18th at 8 a.m. at room S-1 to consider the following bills: House Bill 21, Intestate Succession of Adopted Children; House Bill 76, Public Library Endowment Challenge Program Amendments; House Bill 123, Engrossed Juvenile Records Expungement; House Bill 132, Engrossed Juvenile Confidentiality and Court Proceedings.
Folks, a final announcement, maybe there's one more. The Whammy lunch is today at the Cheyenne UP Depot. All legislators are invited. Students enrolled in the Whammy program will attend, as well as Senators Mike Enzi and John Barrasso. The administration from the University of Washington School of Medicine, as well as the University of Wyoming, will also be attending. That's today at noon at the Depot. If you have time, you've been invited to attend. Senator Kraft.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet tomorrow, Wednesday, February 18th at 8 a.m. in room S-20 to consider the following bills: House Bill 88, Engrossed Health Provider Recruiting Programs, and House Bill 107, Engrossed Interstate Medical Licensure Compact.
Majority Floor Leader Bebout.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. A point of order. We did not vote on the motion to beg leave to rise and sit again. I would ask that we do that.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That motion has been adopted. Do you have a motion for the final announcement before the motion for recess, or Senator Ross?
Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
I'd like to introduce two good friends, Mr. Dwayne Tremblay and Chuck Custis. They're here. They've served people of the state of Wyoming a long time. They serve on the they're representatives of the Wyoming Retired Employees Association. If you'd welcome them to the Senate.
Majority Floor Leader Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that the Senate stand recessed until 1:30.
I think we've already done the announcements. Is there any other announcements? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Senate shall stand in recess until 1:30.
Thank you.